How's everyone doing today? Nice. Good Christmas and good New Year's, I hope. Yeah. All right. Man, this really reminds me of the old days, way back in the day, the first place we ever met at, where we would have a group this size. So it brings me back. Well, hey, I am thrilled to be back this morning. I haven't spoken in, I don't even know how long, about a month. And part of that was planned. Joe said, you have a lot going on. And so he said, let me take 2 weeks in December, which I grudgingly handed off to him because December, Christmas, Advent, it's one of my favorite times of the year. But if you know anything about what we've been going through over this past year, I said, thank you. I will take those 2 weeks. And the plan was to be here at our Christmas program, our Christmas service. And I was all excited, ready to go, because whenever I have a couple of weeks off, there's just so much that builds up, there's so much to say, and when I sit and I listen to another preacher, I'm like, oh, man, I wish I was up there. So after sitting for 2 weeks, and then that next week, I got sick, and I literally couldn't get out of bed for about 2 days. So I was just passed out on the couch for 2 days. Friday evening, I don't know, I was out, and I'm like, ooh, I don't really feel so good. And I came back, we had dinner, and the kids were running around like crazy, and Steph's like, come on, help me out here. And I'm like, I can't get off this chair. And that was it. I just sat on the couch and passed out the rest of the night, and then from there it just cycled through all of us. And so we all were sick. We were sick for Christmas. We had hoped to move back in our home for Christmas. That didn't happen because that was the height of Steph being really sick. And so we decided we weren't going to celebrate Christmas until later. So all last week I was cleaning, moving boxes back in, doing everything we could to get back. My parents went out and they bought us a Christmas tree because I said that was the one thing that I really wanted for the kids was a Christmas tree. And we got back in our house on Thursday evening. It took a very long time to take apart Kit's crib. I never want to dismantle and put together a crib again for the rest of my life, so that means no more kids. And Friday morning, and then Thursday, after they all went to bed, I rushed back to my in-law's house where we had been storing all the presents, loaded them in the car, brought them home, put them under the tree, and we celebrated Christmas on Friday morning. Luckily, our kids are young enough that we could get away with that. My sister's like, how did they let you do that? I'm like, well, I think next year, Reese probably wouldn't have allowed us to do that, but this year, we could still get away with it. It's been great. We're back home, got a few more boxes to move in. I still feel like I am a disorganized mess right now. I don't know where half my things are. I haven't shaved in over a month. The idea of shaving is daunting because when you have a beard this big and then you got to like, you know you're going to make a mess over the whole bathroom. So one of these days I'll get to that this week and get a haircut. So we'll get back to life. The goal was to get back to life the beginning of this year. Get back to a normal life, probably take another week or two as we move stuff back in. But my goodness, I don't say this lightly, but I am so glad that 2021 is over. I don't know how your year was, but my year was hell. And I am so glad for a new year. And I know it's just a calendar. I know it's just a number. But my goodness, it signifies a fresh start. And I could use a fresh start. Maybe you feel that way this morning in life right now. But I am so thankful that we are starting a new journey around the sun. And I am ready for it. And my prayer is that this year would be better and lighter than last year. So that's my prayer for myself, for my family, my prayer for all of you as well. Wherever you find yourselves right now, my prayer is that this year would feel lighter. Now, maybe we're not off to a great start, but hey, we're going to get there. And what I thought I would do today is talk about my Christmas sermon because I was so excited about it. And it's about joy. And I think joy is something that we should be talking more about. And as we start 2022, let's talk about joy. So the title of this sermon is Make Room for Joy, or Making Time for Joy. And let's revisit. I know you can only do this in December. We're going to do this in January. And we did intentionally plan for Advent to go into January because Advent is a four-week period. We only had 3 weeks. So joy is one of the Advent themes, and I want to talk about a Christmas story. Is that okay? Can I talk about a Christmas story in the beginning of January? Are we okay with that? Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. Otherwise, we'd have to, you know, change gears here if you guys were like, no, we're already done with Christmas. Tree's down, lights are off. So we're going to keep going with it. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. This is starting in verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Can anyone here use some good news that brings great joy into your life? Could we collectively use some good news that brings joy for all people? Not some people, but all. When they say all, when Luke says all, he means all, like every single person. There's some good news. The angels come with this message, and the shepherds, here they are, they're just at work. They're doing their 9 to 5. They've punched the clock. They're waiting. They're watching the fields. They're watching the sheep. And now all of a sudden, this message, the angels' lights shine through. I don't know what it would have been like, but there's this message that is pronounced. It's announced over them, and it's good news for all people. Now, a couple of years back, the Rockettes, any Rockette fans here? All right, none of us are Rockette fans. That's okay. Ted, I know you're a secret closet Rockette fan. So the Rockettes, I think this is back in 2017, they had this slogan. The theme for their program was "Make time for joy." I love that idea, make time for joy. How often do we just simply go through life and we squeeze out joy? We have so many other things going on that there's no time left to experience joy. The calendar fills up. We have to be here. We have to do that. We got to remember all these different things. You know, I'm emailing myself all the time because there's something that I have to do, and if I don't write it down, I don't email myself, I'm going to forget to do it. We make time in our schedule for all sorts of things, like work, which, of course, that's important. That's necessary. We have to do that in order to put food on the table. But how often do we actually stop to intentionally make time for joy in our lives? Because the truth is, if you don't make time for joy, that kind of gets pushed to the side, and everything else fills up that space. We have limited time. I love this idea, make time for joy. Now, let's continue with the story, I believe. Is that the next slide? Oh, okay. So let's keep going in Luke. So today, here's the message that the angels came to the shepherds with. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. So here's the good news. Here's the good news that's to bring great joy for all people. So he's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Now, I'm sure at this point, if you're one of these shepherds, here comes an angel with this message, which first you're kind of like, this is weird. Where's that coming from? And now all of a sudden a heavenly host. So now there's more voices. There's more angels. There's more light. Like, do you think you would have been a bit freaked out if here you are in the middle of your field and now all these angelic beings, these noises start announcing, hey, the joy is going to be found with a child. So you're going to find joy in a manger. You think you might be a bit scared. You might be a bit weirded out. You might look to your neighbor, your fellow shepherd, and say, what did we just eat for dinner? You're going to be like, this is kind of odd because this just, it doesn't happen, does it? How many of you have experienced something like this before? You're watching your sheep in your backyard and the skies open up. No takers on that one? All right, I don't see anyone. Yeah. So the shepherds, like, what in the world? Yeah, what is their response? So when the angels left them and they gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem." Kind of an odd response, is it not? This doesn't happen. And they're like, hey, let's go check this out. They're at work. What would happen if you were to leave your post at work? There's people you're responsible for. Debbie, you're at work. You have to go see patients. Now all of a sudden, like the building opens up or there's an apparition or whatever happens. Hey, go check out this baby lying in a manger. It's the first thing you're going to think of, like, hey, okay, let me get in my car and go drive to Bethlehem. No, you're going to be like, that was weird. Let me take care of my patients, the work that I have to do, the things that I'm getting paid to do so I don't get fired. And then I'll think about it. I'll give it some thought. But yet here are the shepherds. Hey, notice there's no questioning this. It's like this is a totally normal thing. Like someone's like, hey, let's go to Wendy's and get a burger, late night burger at Wendy's. We'll see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. See, what this story to me, what this represents, it represents this universal longing we all have within our hearts to experience joy. We're all longing for some good news. We're all longing for a Savior, a Messiah, someone, something to come and take us out of the muck, the dirt, the chaos, the things that don't go our way, the way in which we expect things to go, to pull us out of that and to bring new life, to bring a fresh start, to take the heaviness that so often weighs upon us and to bring lightness, to bring joy and happiness and love and a fresh breath of life. And so the shepherds, when there was just, they were glimpsing it, when there was a chance that maybe things can be different, maybe this message that the angels are announcing, maybe there's actually something to this, they dropped everything they had to do in order to go seek this child, this Savior out. Maybe this is the one that can bring us the life that we deeply long for in our bones. Now, let's keep going. Let's talk about joy a bit. So, remember the Rockettes slogan is, what is it? All right. I knew Ted was a closet Rockettes fan. Make time for joy. I want to give you guys, I think it's three reasons why we don't often make time for joy in our lives. And then I want to give you a couple ways to make room or make time for joy in 2022. So, first, the reasons why we often don't make time for joy. And I'll tell you this, these are all from personal experience. All right, so I'm right there with you. First reason, we talked a bit about this before, too busy. That schedule, it just fills up. Every now and again, so we have a color-coded Google Calendar that we use as a family. So I have my color, Steph has her color, Reese, Kit, we all have our colors. Sometimes I look at that thing, and all it is a sea of colors. And I get overwhelmed, just, oh my goodness, look at everything. Look, like I see the week, and it goes plus, plus, which means you got to scroll down because there's more things on the calendar than what fits in that small little section of the box for that particular day. And I just look at that and I'm like, woo, overwhelmed already. Past couple of months for us, it's just been one meeting after the next with, I think we had about like 15 different types of contractors at the house that we were working with for the past 9 months. And this isn't just, I mean, this is normal life. We fill it with so many different things. And then what happens is when you look at that calendar, when you're guided by your calendar, you begin to get tunnel vision, which we can go to the next slide. I have a picture of a tunnel. And when you get tunnel vision, what happens is it's as if you escape into some vortex. You go into that tunnel, and the only thing that you can see, the only thing that you can focus on is the task ahead of you. You ever kind of get into that zone? I mentioned that I was cleaning the house this week and bringing boxes in, and we had to clean like everything. We brought it back into the house. And I just got into this zone. I couldn't think about anything else. All self-care, all things to do for my own personal health, all of it just kind of got pushed to the side, and I've been so focused, and that's necessary. Sometimes that's important. During a season in life, you have to have tunnel vision. You have to just kind of push through because there's no other choice. But when you constantly live that way, when it's not just a season of life, but when it's the totality of life and it's your constant state of being, that becomes a problem because then you can't see all the goodness that exists around you. Think about the shepherds. Yeah, they were at work, but they had space to witness what was happening around them. They weren't just saying, okay, at the end of our shift, then we're going to go check out this child. No, they dropped everything immediately. As soon as the angel left, it was, hey, let's go to Bethlehem. They weren't living with this tunnel vision. And what happens when we keep filling the calendar, we go from here to there to here to there, all we can focus on is the next thing that's in front of us. And we're missing all the joy, the goodness, the life that's happening all around us all the time. I don't know. One of the things I always like to do whenever I read the Bible is I like to ask a whole bunch of questions. So I'll take a passage like that, and then I'll ask questions about it. It's like, were the shepherds, were they living in any certain way that they were able to actually see the angel that appeared in the sky? I mean, I don't know. Was it this really big, bright light, and you just simply couldn't miss it? Possibly. Maybe it was that way. Or maybe it was really subtle. Because the truth is, whenever I hear from God, whenever I feel God leading me, the skies don't open up. Maybe you've had this experience before. There's not a plane writing me a message in the sky, and I'm like, oh, God, thanks for that one. As much as we pray for that and we want that, we want those big, miraculous signs. But the truth is, the way in which God leads and which God speaks, it's often very subtle. It's like a whisper. So were the shepherds living in a certain way that they heard that soft whisper of God inviting them, calling them, inviting them to experience something new? I don't know. I don't have an answer for it. But the fact that they were willing to drop things, well, they realized, hey, this is, we can kind of shift the calendar for a little bit. Now, here's another reason why we don't make time for joy. Because the older we get, the more wonder, the more sense of wonder we lose. You ever notice this? Yesterday, we were driving around Armonk, me and Reese, trying to find a place open for dinner. It was Steph's birthday yesterday, and the place we wanted to go wasn't open. And there's one sidewalk in Armonk that just has one plastic Santa after the next, after the next, after the next, with a whole bunch of Frosties in there. We found a place to go eat, and I had promised Reese, hey, we're going to go look at the Santas. So we placed our order. I drove to this sidewalk. We got out of the car, and we just, for like 20 minutes, back and forth, up and down the sidewalk. There's Santa. There's Santa. There's an elf. Hey, look, there's a reindeer. There's a turkey. What's a turkey doing here? Turkey's only for Thanksgiving. He was so confused why there was a turkey mixed in with all this, and I was confused too. But for him, there was so much wonder just in these plastic figurines. I drive by it. I'm like, yep, that's nice. That's great. For a four-year-old, it's like, oh my goodness, this is the best thing ever. The older we get, the more wonder we lose. The more wonder we lose, the more joy we end up losing. How do we recapture wonder? You recapture wonder, you recapture joy. We can go to the next slide. Another reason why we don't make time for joy is because there are speed bumps in life. I don't care who you are. What you'll come to realize, discover in life, is there are many disruptions. There's many detours, many things. Here you are, you're sailing along on the highway, and then you see the brake lights up ahead. And you're like, oh, crap, I'm going to be late. Don't you hate that? You're like, I'm making great time here. You come around a corner, and just like, just a sea of brake lights. Yeah, it's inevitable. In life, you're going to hit backup speed bumps and detours. The trick in life is to maintain your lightness, that feeling of lightness in the midst of the heaviness that you experience. This year, this past year, as I've mentioned, was a year of utter heaviness for me. And every time I stopped to think about it, and just we would take out a built-in bookshelf, and there'd be mold behind the entire wall, and we had cut into a wall for an outlet, and there was mold behind that wall and this, and it was like one thing after the next. After a while, it just felt like there was just a 50-pound weight resting on my shoulders, and it just kept digging me deeper and deeper into the ground. So how do you maintain lightness in the midst of heaviness? Sometimes you just got to stop everything, and you just got to take your kids to the arcade, and you just need to forget it all for a while. So I have a video of what we did in order to maintain some lightness. Do we have sound? Oh, there we go. That was it. And you know what? It was the best afternoon. It was the best hour of our of our week. So much going on, and every now and again we had to just stop and just blow off some steam. There was plenty of other things to do, plenty of other calls to make. I'm sure I probably had work to do, but you know what? We just said, we need this time. We need this time as a family. We need this time just to forget it all and to make time for joy. Because if you don't just go and play, maybe the arcade's not your thing, that's fine. Go to a baseball game. Go to Vermont and go skiing. Put on a movie. When I was sick, you know what I did? I binged all the Tom Cruise catalog. I don't know what happened. I just watched one, and the next thing I know, I'm like, oh, let's watch some more. So I caught up on my Tom Cruise. So whatever it is for you, you just get out, you forget it all, and you just, you do nothing. You get it all out of your head, and hopefully, I know for me, when we did this, it's like that lightness begins to reappear again. Then you're ready to re-engage with all the heaviness and all the disruptions and the detours and the speed bumps, the things that come up in life. And then I think I have one more reason why we don't make time for joy. So for us here, we come to church because we're followers of Jesus. And we want to know, well, what does it mean for me in my life to follow Jesus? What often happens, and this can happen the longer you're in church, is grace becomes old news. Here's this message that the angel announced to the shepherds. Good news, a savior. Grace is upon you. You know what happens the longer we're in church typically, or that when we tend to forget about it, is grace becomes like an old can of tennis balls. See that bounce? It's okay, right? It's all right. I mean, I play tennis. I hate using a flat can of tennis balls. It just doesn't bounce the right, you know what I'm saying? So whenever you start to play tennis, what you do is you get a new can. Any tennis players here besides Debbie? Right? Okay. Yes. Or I'm sure you do this for football. You make sure that, well, maybe if you're like Tom Brady, you deflate the football. I don't know. Right? Or for ice skating, right, you sharpen your blades because if the blades are dull, you're not going to skate as well. But whatever we do, whatever hobby that we have, we make sure our equipment is fresh. It's like this. So in high school, I played tennis. This was my favorite sound of the, right before you started a match. You hear that? It's fresh, right? Now watch the bounce on this. And then I remember when I was in high school and the teacher would be like, hey, you guys got to make sure you don't cut yourselves. I'm like, dude, we can drive a car. We're going to be okay. Okay, no one cut themselves on this, all right? Okay, watch this bounce. Okay, it's a little better. Let's see, we're going to test it out. Let's see. Maybe Joe didn't give me a really flat can of tennis balls like I requested. Okay, let's see. Ready for it? Okay, here we go. It does, right? We all witnessed the science experiment. See, what happens is grace becomes like a flat can of tennis balls. It's old news. We've experienced before. It's not fresh. It's not new. It doesn't change our lives like it did when we first experienced Jesus. And the good news, the grace, the forgiveness, the new life that's been given for you. And so we're going to celebrate Eucharist in a few minutes. We're going to get rid of these old can of tennis balls. And my prayer for you this year is that grace, the gift of Jesus, would be fresh and new, and that you would experience that, yes. It's like fresh air, unopened, never used before. It can still bring life and joy. Now, okay, I've been giving a couple of reasons why, but I think I marked a couple more. So how do we make time for joy in 2022? First, so we embrace wonder. I've been talking about this. How do you embrace wonder? You slow it down. You slow it down. We've been talking about slow church over the past 3 months here. How do we move a bit slower? How do we do a little less this year? Are there a couple of things? There's someone I know. He says every single year he begins the new year by looking over his commitments, and he drops at least two or three commitments every single year. I love that idea. He looks over everything, and that's why we do an annual membership renewal here, because you ever sign up for something, and then you keep getting all the emails, and you're like, why did I ever sign up for this? It just becomes this routine. It's just, it's sent to your inbox, and you don't even think about it. Or like you have a subscription to, I don't know, Disney Plus, but you haven't turned it on in 4 months, and you're wondering, why do I still have this subscription? But they're still billing you every month. So he looks over every single commitment, and then he drops a couple because he wants to make room for other things that will come up in the new year, because things always come up. And if you keep adding and adding and cramming, well, then you're not going to have any time for joy. Okay, and then here's this. Do I have a quote for the next slide, I believe? Oh, I don't? Okay, what's the next reason? Okay. Oh, shoot. Do I have a quote? I had to have a quote. You got to be joking. I don't have a quote. Okay, I'm going to find this quote. Okay, so I was putting my slides together this week, and I couldn't find the quote. I can't believe I don't have that quote in there. Because I said, once I have this quote, my sermon's done. And I was searching my history on my computer, and I couldn't find it. But I know the author because I found it yesterday. I'm going to find it. We're all going to sit here until I find it. Oh, my goodness. You know what? Okay, here we go. Oh, you know how long I looked for this quote yesterday? Oh, my goodness. I really thought I had it. Okay, one more Google search, and then if I don't have it, then there's no quote anywhere in those slides. Like, it's like a blue. No, all right. I believe you. I must not have saved it. Okay, I'm going to email all of you this week with this quote, because this quote, anyone ever hear of Tonya Dalton? She has a book called The Joy of Missing Out, which we've talked a bit about before. I mean, basically, I don't even remember the quote, but basically the idea of the quote was that there's wonder and there's joy all around in the normal, ordinary life that we live. And if we don't pay attention, we're going to miss it. And that's what I love about the story of the shepherds, because they're not doing anything out of their ordinary routine. They're at work. They're at work. We forget that in the Christmas story. We think shepherds are completely different than wherever I go to work or where I sit at my computer or whatever I happen to do. But where does God break through? In the normal. Where's the invitation to joy? In the ordinary. In the routine. The invitation to joy exists all around us, every step we take. But we miss it. We miss it. So how do we slow it down? How do we pay attention? So the joy that exists right there in the normal, ordinary, we can simply step into. So my prayer for you this week, for this year, is that we would experience more joy and more lightness and more grace and more life in 2022 than any year we've ever had before. Now, as we close here, I do want to celebrate Eucharist, because I think that is the best way to begin a year. The good gift of Jesus. Jesus, that the angel announced his birth to the shepherds 2,000 years ago. This birth that is still changing lives today, still bringing hope and life. Let me pray for us, and then feel free to come forward. You can wait till other people have come up and gone through, so take your time. It's okay. You can grab a cup, piece of bread, and then partake. And remember, this is the gift of Jesus, the body of Jesus that was broken, the blood of Jesus that was poured out for your life, for your salvation, for the grace that is free for you to embrace. So God, I thank you that we can begin a new year together. God, I ask that as we embark upon this new year, God, that we would experience more joy. God, that there would be a lightness to our step this year. I pray that we would be moving slow enough. God, that we would be able to see and pay attention to the invitation to joy that's all around us. So may we find joy in the ordinary this year. May we make room, may we make time for joy in our lives. And as we do so, may we experience more of the life that you desire for us to have. May we come to discover more wonder. God, may grace not be something that's old news, but may it be fresh and life-giving. So as we come forward this morning to celebrate the gift of Jesus for us, God, I pray that you would speak a fresh message of salvation and hope over our lives this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.